Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is local author as well as senior instructor here at Northwest Missouri State University, Jason Offit. Jason will be at the Nottoway County Historical Society this Sunday at 2 p.m. for Halloween Horrors of Nottoway County. He'll be telling spooky tales of ghosts and the paranormal at 2 p.m. Jason, thanks for joining me this morning. First things first, I know this. I'm sure a lot of people in our department and building know this. But for those out there who don't know, go ahead and tell us how you got into or how you became interested in ghosts and the paranormal.
A couple of different things. When I was a kid, there were news stories. And I was a newspaper geek, even when I was young, of a Bigfoot encounter, series of Bigfoot encounters in Louisiana, Missouri, of Momo. That's what they called him, the Missouri Monster. And for me, if it was in the newspaper, it had to be true, right? So just I was absolutely fascinated. But that's how I got into monsters, how I got into interested in ghosts. I was about, 8 years old, and we lived in a old school house that was turned into a three-bedroom home, 6 miles outside of the nearest town. There's nobody lived around us. And I walked into the hallway out of my bedroom to get a book, because that was where the hallway was lined with bookshelves. And there was a little boy standing there staring at me. And he had brown tousled hair and blue flannel shirt and blue jeans. And that's about as far as I got, because I could see the bookshelf through him. And we stared at each other for an indeterminate amount of time. It could have been 3 seconds. It could have been 30. I don't know. But we stared at each other until he blinked. And I just turned around, went back into my bedroom, and shut the door. And I didn't talk about it for 30 years.
I don't know how old you were, but that's a good decision.
Yeah.
So with this weekend's event, you'll be telling local ghost stories. Is there any that, without revealing it, but is there any that people would know about that you'll be talking about this weekend?
The ones people know about, they know about the place. I'm going to bring up a few stories of Workman Chapel. Not the common stories, not the urban legend ones, which are of course not true. They're urban legends, but I've taken students out there before, and some things have happened that have been pretty interesting. So I'll talk about those occurrences.
How long have you been in Maryville?
17 years.
So for 17 years, you probably have stories involving, Roberta Hall here at the Northwest campus, mm-hmm. Workman's Chapel. In the past few years, is there, local haunts or anything that you've heard that you've just never heard before that, like people who still come up to you and give you something and you're just kind of blown away that you've never heard that before?
Well, this happened about, 6-7 years ago involving this building, Wells Hall. There's a ghost in this building as well. His name's Amos Wong. And when I found out about that, I did some research, and I am going to bring that up too, because there was an interesting occurrence involving a student who was working on KXCV one Sunday, and she saw him.
I assume at night.
No, it was during the day.
Okay.
Because she contacted me and asked me what she should do.
At the time it was happening?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, she had just seen this person who wasn't supposed to be in the building,
mm-hmm.
and she went out into the hallway to tell him to leave, and then he was gone. And she asked, she said, "I think I saw the ghost." And I told her to go look up a picture of the Tower yearbook staff in the 1991 yearbook, and she did, and she was like, "Oh my God, that was the person I saw."
So I guess outside of spooky ghost stories for the weekend, is there any that you'll be throwing in UFO or cryptid related?
I'm going to throw in, yes. There was a dogman encounter in Maryville. There was a case of demonic possession I'm probably going to throw in. There was a guy back in the early 90s who tried to build a time machine in Stanbury and ended up turning the lights off in half the town.
What would you say is kind of your favorite, I don't want to say subgenre, but kind of offshoot of this paranormal grouping?
I've got two monsters, cryptids. I love creepy crawly things. And I also love time travel stories.
Okay. And from a journalistic standpoint, how is it that because anytime you see something ghost-related or UFO-related, probably not as recently now that the Pentagon has said, oh, yeah, there's stuff in the sky, we don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But how is it, from a journalistic standpoint, you approach people? Because a lot of these people will get ridiculed by family and friends, and a lot of times they won't even discuss it. How is it that you are able to build trust with people? It's probably something simple, I would assume.
Well, when I wrote my first book on the paranormal, Haunted Missouri, back in 2007, people were like that. They were really hesitant to talk to me. I was a print journalist for 17 years before I started teaching, and I've learned to develop a rapport with people I interview. I think they get pretty comfortable with me and know I'm not going to make fun of them. Now it's a lot different than it was back in 2007, because there have been so many shows on the paranormal. I mean, heck, the History Channel continues to have them. So people are more used to the subject. They see people talking about them. So people are a lot more willing to talk to me about strange things now.
Do you still think there's that stigma surrounding it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? It depends on what it is. People are a lot more eager to tell ghost stories than they are, hey, Jason, I saw Bigfoot. That's one. Or a UFO. Those still have a stigma around them. But ghosts, people are really free with those.
So how do you approach someone, you know, when they bring up something to you that automatically in your brain you might not believe at all?
Okay, I'm a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell a good story, but I'm also a journalist, and I want to tell a real story. I don't want to – if it sounds too fantastic, I don't write about it. And if a person tells me a story about a ghost sighting and they seem serious, sure, yeah, I'll believe you on that. But, you know, if they tell me that they've had – a ghost sighting, they have a portal to another dimension inside their house. They see ghosts, they see UFOs, they've been aboard a UFO, and they've given JFK a back rub recently. That's when I draw the line. And so, there are people out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got to JFK, there's one person that I've talked to before who had all of those things, plus had remote viewed cities on Mars.
There was a photo recently on Reddit, I want to say maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago. It was a photo from Lawrence, Kansas, of this guy who's driving a van around that said, birds are robots. They're cameras created by the government. All birds died in like the 90s. So part of me kind of just wants to capture a live bird with this guy and see what he does with it.
Well,
but
does he not eat chicken?
I have no idea. Probably not. He's probably not a fan of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Out of all the kind of categories that are encompassed in paranormal, is there one you haven't heard of happening in Maryville that kind of surprises you? Or have you heard like something from everything?
I've heard a little bit of everything. One of my books I'm going to be talking about on Sunday at the Historical Society is What Lurks Beyond. And I put a pin in Maryville and measured out a bit of string that was a 100 miles to this map on this map, and I swung it around in a circle, and I drew a big circle around in a 100 mile radius, and I went to find everything paranormal I could find, and it filled a book. So there's plenty in the Maryville and the surrounding area that covers all sorts of topics.
Is there an event or something that has happened in Nottoway County that not a lot of people know about that you can think of?
One happened in 1979 by Skidmore. It was in a soybean field, and a couple of teenage boys were out walking the bean field with corn knives, cutting down weeds, and they came upon a crater, and it looked like a scorch mark. And then there was a crater, and it looked like another scorch mark that went out. And so it looked like something hit the ground and from the sky and skipped someplace. And I want to talk about that, too, because a lot of weird things accompanied that. And I don't think many people remember that sort of thing.
Would that be under the category of UFOs, you think?
Possibly. Because I sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the Air Force because investigators from Moffett Air Force Base came down to investigate it. And I sent about three or four letters, and they refused each one. So I think something happened.
So you haven't heard anything back yet?
Oh, no. I heard back. It was great because I sent him one letter and I didn't get anything. I sent him another letter. I reworded it and sent it to them asking for, look at their files. And it got rejected. So I called the name of the number of the person who rejected my request. And she was super nice. She goes, yeah, we've got files here on that case. And I'm like, great. How can I get them? Well, you just have to word your letter appropriately. And I'm like, how do I do that? And she said, I can't tell you. So I sent one or two more, and those got rejected too, and I gave up. I was running out of time. I was on deadline.
Maybe one day you'll crack the code.
Maybe.
Is there any – because you have a past in fiction and nonfiction. Is there any nonfiction book ideas on the paranormal that you're kicking around now, or is that still kind of – past Jason?
I've been working mostly on writing novels the last 5 or 6 years. I did write a book on the paranormal. It was published in 2018 called Chasing American Monsters. And I had monsters. I had it broken down state by state, and I had monster sightings from each state. It's been pretty popular.
So would you be interested in doing another cryptid book since, there's hundreds based on things I've seen just in some states.
Yeah, I would. I'm not writing about – I don't think I'm going to be writing about ghosts or demonic possession or anything like that because it started to wear on me. but monsters and I'm hoping at some point to put together a book on time travel stories.
How much does your own personal beliefs, spiritually or religiously, impact this kind of research?
I go into it as objectively as possible. I'm a firm believer in science, and I respect when things are spooky things are investigated scientifically. I'm not a big fan of people going out on the weekends and hunting for ghosts using an EMF meter and all sorts of devices because did science say that ghosts, emit a electromagnetic frequency? No, they didn't. But if somebody in the scientific field sees something, like, for example, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, he's a Idaho State, University of Idaho or Idaho State, I don't remember. But he's a scientist and he's done Bigfoot research because he believes that that the Bigfoot's out there.
I believe, and you probably know this, there was a professor at the Wentworth Military Academy in Lexington, Missouri, who was an expert on Bigfoot language, I think.
I did not know that.
I'll have to look it up for you then.
Yeah, I wish I had known that when I wrote my book on monsters.
Well, I have two random questions. The first, based on me going to your office and seeing your not yet out but new book, Girl in the Corn, is there anything you want to tell us about that real quick?
Well, it's a horror, my first horror novel. It's coming out January 11th. available for pre-order now, but it's set in this area, actually, and some really bad things happened down in St. Joe. But it's a story of a little boy who sees a fairy in the corn in his mom's garden, and the fairy follows him as the book's about him growing up, and the fairy keeps reappearing in his life, and isn't a Disney fairy at all. So some creepy things happen, and I'm gonna leave it at that. It was a really fun book to write.
Okay, and the other thing is Halloween's this weekend, and I know you're a horror geek just like me when it comes to movies. What would you recommend people watch if they're going to be staying home this weekend for Halloween?
Oh my gosh, some of my favorite scary movies. I mean, The Exorcist is terrific. Rosemary's Baby, Village of the Damned, John Carpenter's The Thing. If you're into slasher films, the original Halloween, the original A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original Friday the 13th, are all classics.
Now, is there a horror movie you can watch with the family that you really like?
Oh, watch it with the family. Probably Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Is that considered a horror or a comedy?
It's both.
Both. Okay, that's fair.
And when it comes to horror comedy, you cannot watch this with the whole family, but Tucker and Dale versus Evil is terrific.
No, you cannot watch that with the family.
Not with the family. The same with Shaun of the Dead. It's a great horror comedy movie. It's a love story with zombies is how they marketed it. And, yeah, don't watch it with the family.
All right. Well, anything else?
No, I just want to thank you for having me on.
All right, Jason, have a good Halloween. Enjoy the weekend. Once again, that was Jason Offit, local author and senior instructor here at Northwest Missouri State University. He will be at the Nottoway County Historical Society this Sunday on Halloween. You can catch him at 2 p.m. telling spooky tales of ghosts and the paranormal. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.